Do you guys want to hear? Do you want to hear what my dad just texted me?
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Because it's real.
I'm so
I
ready.
told him we were working on a Power Rangers podcast, and he just kind of said, "Must relate to the delta between Japanese low birth rate, higher use of robots in hotels and services, very low unemployment, and how that is projected into Ranger comics and animated movie ideals, something like that." Hey everybody, this is Barnabas McCopic.
And I am known as Regina Gloriana, Mother of the Realm.
And I'm Slime Muff, and you're listening to Grow Up, a Saturday morning podcast for thoughtful millennials, where we revisit and deconstruct the media sensations of our childhoods.
In this episode, we will soon find ourselves enveloped in gurgling purple ooze as we delve into the 1995 classic Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
Okay. So, to get our hearts a-pounding, our juices a-flowing, we're going to start with a friendly competition. Are you ready for the topic?
I'm ready.
On three, announce your favorite color Power Ranger. One, right. Two, three. Pink!
Yellow! Oh my god.
Yes, ma'am?
How could you like the Pink Ranger?
I don't like her, ma'am. I love her.
Oh my god, why?
Because we're dating. It would be obscene for me not to love my own girlfriend.
She is the quintessential woman in distress. I can't handle her, Kimberly!
Hardly. Hardly. She has actual skills. It is not her fault that the writers put her in situations where giant crow men grab her. It is by no fault of her own. No shortcoming
she also
of her own
just
wit,
always
of
says
her
things
own
like,
stamina.
Ew, gross, and I hate her.
You are a woman hater, my friend.
I am not a woman hater. My favorite Power Ranger is the yellow one. The other woman.
Yes, well, I also like the yellow Power Ranger, and I like the pink Power Ranger, but you dislike 50% of the women in
How
this film.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare
How
you?
How dare I? How dare,
dare you?
You? How dare you hate her for having feminine qualities? It is not her fault what the male society
no,
has
for
done
for her
character.
Reinforcing really toxic feminine qualities
She's
on the
not
screen.
Doing it. It's the writers. She is
yeah,
fully
true.
Capable of, she can kick, she can say snarky things. The crows keep grabbing her, but...
Crows do keep grabbing her.
But
because
it's not
she's like
her
a beacon
fault.
For them.
You, my friend...
Yes?
Suck.
I personally didn't have any favorite Power Rangers.
What?
Yeah, well, I don't know. In my head, always, even as a kid, they didn't... they didn't have individual identities to me. They all just kind of represented an amorphous sort
no.
of...
They're all
no.
people. I have eight
Robin.
Notes here. I have eight notes here. On
they
are how
very
different each of
distinct
them are.
Human beings with distinct
they
personalities.
Are not the
yes,
wait,
they
who's
are.
The blue?
Oh,
who is the blue
my
Power
God.
Ranger?
Billy is the blue Power Ranger,
and he.
How do you know this? You've seen the movie what twice
I've
now?
I've seen it four
I've seen
times.
This movie 15 times.
I've seen
times.
It a couple of times. All I remembered was the ooze from my childhood, but I've watched it.
What a thing to remember. I would like to institute a tradition.
All right.
Called our Virgin Alert for anyone
oh
who had...
who has not seen the thing that we're watching?
Who had not seen it, yes.
Virgin Alert, Virgin Alert. Catherine had never seen it.
Virgin Alert. Yes, I had never seen any Power Rangers before this.
We're doing the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The movie. This movie was very impactful to me as a young child. It was the only movie I watched multiple times. And it had a massive influence on my desire to skydive.
Aww.
So the movie
Aww.
Opens up... the movie opens up with a bunch of teens skydiving. It's immediately followed up by a montage of them roller skating just through the world. which also has no relevance. It's just showing us how cool these kids are.
And it's
they're
set-
really rad teens, guys.
And it's set to a Free Ride by Dan Hartman.
Coincidentally, at that moment, brand new discovery is being made.
It's a giant
the construction
egg.
Workers.
How dare you take that moment from Robin? You know how he feels about that egg.
I'm sorry.
I did want to announce that egg many, many times to you guys as we were watching. I was so excited.
Giggling. For like
It's a giant purple egg. It's a giant purple egg. It's a giant purple egg.
Filled with?
And it's filled with slime.
Yes!
That's just all. It's a giant purple egg filled with goo.
I know.
Oh,
I'm so happy just thinking about it.
So we have a bunch of bad guys suddenly appear in the middle of the night, just like magically apparate in front of this giant purple egg.
All right.
And these bad guys are Rita Repulsa.
God, she's my favorite.
Lord Zed, who I just kind of refer to as the walking meat sack.
Yeah, meat back.
Meat sack.
Meat
sack.
He's like, you know, no skin. He has no skin.
He's just a meat sack.
It's just the meat underneath.
Cute.
And Goldar Mordant. And Goldar and Mordant are just the two ugliest creatures.
Which one is the pig man?
Yeah, exact question I was about to ask.
Yeah, Mordant was the boar henchman. But in any case, they crack open the egg, and that's where we see the slime. That's where we see the ooze, which is an auspicious word to use because out of the slime, out of the proverbial primordial ooze, arises a god of destruction, and his name is Ivan Ooze.
Can we just take a moment to talk about Ivan Ooze?
Of course we can.
Of course.
What a spectacular villain. This movie reminded me a lot of Buffy. I got like a lot of the same vibe. Yeah. And I was expecting this to just be like some bulky, like, blah, 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 kind of thing. But he just had the best personality and was so purple and had the most killer lines and spit ooze that would turn into people. Like, no laws of physics apply to this man.
Yeah.
And
he can do anything.
He's what I want to be.
Oh. That's not where I thought this was going to go.
I have, like, in my notes, just, like, randomly, I have, like, things he said. And, like, at one point he says, touch me again and you'll be chicken wings by morning. And I went, girl!
On a deserted island, it would be you, the pink Power Ranger, and Ivan Ooze.
Ivan Ooze. And then a philosophical question regarding our Mr. Ooze. Uh-huh. At one point, he's introducing himself, and he says, you know, I am Ivan Ooze, sworn enemy to, like, all that is good and right, something like that. And I thought that was interesting wording, that he doesn't say, like, sworn ally to all that is evil and murky. Like, it's that he is, his identity is just that I am the opposite of good, not that he is bad.
Yeah.
Is there something there?
Yeah. I think that there is, because, well, he uses anti-good as his identity, right? Mm-hmm. And then he totally turns on the other baddies and he like imprisons them. Like, he has no alliances. All he cares about is destruction of good things.
Yeah, for sure, because Rita Repulsa and all of them are allied with bad.
Exactly.
I think there's, because I remember thinking,
and they stick together. That little group sticks together throughout the movie for the most part.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to point out.
And Ivan is the unusual addition. He's the thing that breaks the pattern, and that's why he gets his own movie.
Some men just want to watch the world burn in ooze.
In ooze.
Yeah, but more specifically than just watching the world burn, I think it's a good thing he's a sworn enemy to all that is evil. Or a sworn enemy to all...
Right?
All that is good. And it's interesting then that in that same scene where he says that, the character Lord Zed asks, do you know who Zordon is? And immediately he, like, Ivan Ooze just throws his head back and shoots electricity into the air. And that's how, like, we set up the action of the movie.
Right.
He's the sworn enemy of all that is good, and there is no greater good than Zordon.
Yeah, so that's super interesting to me, because then we have two pillars on either side of the spectrum of good and evil. So we have Zordon on the side of good, and we have Ivan Ooze on the side of evil, and they clearly know each other. They have a history.
But then I would argue that Ivan isn't even the side of evil. He's just the side of anti-good.
Yeah, you're right.
He's just the opposite of Zordon. And for anyone who is listening to this and hasn't seen Power Rangers, Zordon is the, like, ancient sage who created the Power Rangers.
Yeah, he's the giant head.
He's like
an
Aussian floating head. Yeah. The Power Rangers show up at this site where Ivan Ooze is. Then there's a long and...
Excellent
fight scene.
Yeah,
it is quite
between
good.
It's a very good fight scene.
Ivan Ooze's minions, which he raised from his own saliva.
Yeah.
There and then in front of them, just spat it out onto the ground. Or was it snot? I cannot remember.
It was one of his fluids.
It's remarkable.
Certain.
His gift.
Yeah.
Or is it Billy that's like, you ooze, you lose?
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, they have such good little catchphrases during their fights.
So important.
And, like, Buffy does, too, but not nearly to the extent that the Power Rangers have.
That's why it reminds me of Buffy a lot.
Yeah. And the fights, like, visually looked a lot like Buffy's.
And this is because I know that you have an issue with Kimberly Hart, the Pink Power Ranger. And how she says ew so much, but that reminds me of Buffy. Buffy would also be like, ew, but then kick their ass.
Yeah.
I think it's valid to be repulsed by ooze men. I also think
it's pretty valid to be repulsed by the ooze men.
You're turning my
gears with a Kimberly Hart.
Oh, she turns my gears too. But Because it doesn't get in the way of her fighting. She has a natural reaction. Like, these are made of boogers. These are purple booger men. Gross. But she still kicks their ass.
Yeah.
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 And then does a series of back hand flips or whatever.
Of what?
And then kicks their ass again. Back handsprings.
Oh, yeah. They do a lot of unnecessary back handsprings, but, like, visually it's really fun to watch.
It's a part of their fighting style.
Why they're so
I don't know
necessary
what you mean
to
by
do
unnecessary.
Like 17 back handsprings in a row
because they're cool.
That's how you hype yourself up.
But
in
like
a
the
battle.
Second you stand back up, you're dizzy. Have you ever done 17 back?
Maybe you are, Kylie.
Not Kimberly.
Are you a Power Ranger though?
I'm not a Power Ranger.
Were you recruited by the Pinnacle of Good to
Can
fight?
I be the- Purple
evil
Ranger
on your planet?
No, because that's Ivan Ooze.
Yeah, okay, well, so while so Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa and everybody basically hired Ivan Ooze as a hitman to get rid of Zordon because he is so much bigger and badder than them.
Yeah.
And they cannot take care of Zordon themselves. And then he just kind of walks into the command center.
It's a great plan. It works.
It is a really good plan, and it does work.
Yeah.
He just kind of walks in there and does lightning things. And it makes you wonder why they needed Ivan Ooze to begin with.
Oh, that's worse than...
But yeah, so it happens. That's what happens, is he just waltzes into the command center and kills Zordon.
Yeah, he basically just walks in and kills Zordon in one go.
And he accuses Zordon of robbing him of his prime, which, of course, to me was like, oh, these two are former lovers.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Was the vibe I got there.
Yes, so Zordon is being destroyed by his former lover, Ivan Ooze.
Ooze.
And, well, so then the Power Rangers show up and, you know, at the command center, and they're like, oh no, everything is awful. Everything's been destroyed. And, oh no, look, there's Zordon. He's dying.
Can we talk a little bit about, like, Kimberly's affinity for Zordon?
I knew you were going to say Kimberly!
No, I'm not trying to be mean to Kimberly. It's just, like, she is clearly the closest person to Zordon in this group.
She just seems like the most empathetic of everyone. She feels things the hardest.
She does feel things the hardest, but, like, she's the only one who makes a reference to him being, like, a father to them, or...
Yeah.
Like, nobody...
She says...
Nobody, like... reinforces that. They just like nod and like
she's like, you're like a father to us, Zordon, and everyone's just like, yeah
Zordon, yeah.
He is, though. He's a,
no,
he's
I know,
a giant,
but, like, she's
floating,
the one who
benevolent
says it.
Head. But at that, at this point, they are trying to find out, like, what can we do? What can we do to bring Zordon back to make sure Zordon doesn't die or whatever?
Right.
He's like, you have to find the great power. Save
great
me
power
with the great
that will
power.
Keep him going, right?
And yeah, the great power will keep him going.
At this point, they've all lost their powers because Zordon's dying.
Right.
Yeah.
Just regular teens. Which I also want to talk about because it's like.
Totally regular kung fu teens.
Because up until this moment, we've been seeing them just living the fuck out of their lives.
Right.
Like, it's easy to be the Power Rangers when they're on the top of their game, but then suddenly they lose all their powers. And I was just thinking, like, how many real teenagers in this situation would be like, okay, I'm gonna go home and study biology now. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
The fact that they all are like, yeah, we don't have anything, but being a Power Ranger is the greatest good there is, so we're gonna go to another planet that we might not be able to come back from because they only have enough power to get them there.
In the Power Rangers, we see people in very, very binary ways. We see very evil and very good, and we don't have anything in between. We don't have any flawed characters who are still good. So it's a very binary way of teaching children morality.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe that's one of the reasons that Kimberly annoyed me a little bit, was like, there's only two representations of women in this show. Well, like, good representations of women in this show, and Kimberly
One of them
is
Rita Repulsa.
No, I mean, like, Aisha and Kimberly. But, and, like, Kimberly is, like, the quintessential feminine, which, like, in the 90s, yeah, that is something that even feminine young girls weren't growing up with confidence. What else? I was reading a little bit about the original Blue Ranger, I think it was, that, like, the actor was
gay
and
was bullied.
And he got bullied off the set. Like, this is such a binary show, and it's not leaving any room for anybody who doesn't fit into these binaries.
Yeah, I don't agree all the way.
Okay.
Because I don't think that Kimberly is just, like, the quintessential feminine.
I'm not saying, like, the character necessarily. I'm saying the way she's written. The way she's presented to us.
Yeah.
Is.
She's feminine. Yeah.
But also.
But she still kicks ass.
She still kicks ass. And I'm not saying that that's not totally valid. It's just like, when after she's done kicking ass, the only thing she can do is be as feminine as humanly possible.
But I guess why I don't have an issue with it is because her feminine qualities are not seen as negative. No one's making fun of her for being like, oh, you're such a girl. Like,
that's true.
That she is very empathetic. She loves Zordon and has emotions and stuff. It's not seen as a weakness, her femininity.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why it doesn't offend me that she's... Because I don't think there's anything wrong with being feminine.
I don't either.
I think there's... Yeah, I think there's something wrong with making fun of it and, like... Which I don't think they do. And we can probably talk about her later, but then we have a very different type of woman in Aisha. And they don't butt heads, you know? They're just, like, two different kinds of feminine power.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too, that this show could so easily, like, it could have cat fights and, like, but it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
It's not trying to be a reality TV show. It's trying to...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's
coming
not,
right
like,
off of...
Yeah. It doesn't.
Pokemon has
drama.
A lot of those pitfalls of like they make fun of Misty a lot for like for loving romance and stuff, and then when she's with her sisters, they're super catty.
There is something much more pure about Power Rangers,
for sure.
We cut away to the moon, where Ivan Ooze has set up a base.
Oozed.
And he backstabs. Everywhere. He backstabs his two. Erstwhile compatriots, Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd. And then he creates more snot creatures. I am told by Wikipedia that they are called the Tengu.
Yeah. Huh.
And they're kind of like the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz.
Except worse.
Except somehow worse, yeah.
They were worse.
Crow men. They're sort of like flying crow men.
they're really just humans in really poorly made suits.
You know, they were actually originally like rat men, but they thought that the rat costumes looked too low budget.
Oh my god.
And he sends them from the moon to the planet Phaedos. So I don't know, like, these snot creatures must be capable of interdimensional travel or something, because we don't know where the planet Phaedos is, but obviously not in our galaxy.
Yeah, clearly.
And these flying creatures are able to get there from the moon in, like,
by flying.
The same amount of time it took the Power Rangers to get there by whatever rainbow warp speed thing Alpha 5 put them through.
Yeah.
Y'all, did you know the Tengu is an actual, like, mythological creature within Chinese mythology? God.
No.
It's like,
I did not know that.
Tang and Ku mean celestial and dog. So they're called celestial hounds, but they don't look anything like dogs. Like, that's a thing.
They look like crows.
They look like bird people.
They're horrible bird people, which is something I find distasteful.
Oh, it's so creepy. Okay, so their supernatural powers include shape-shifting into human and animal forms, the ability to speak to humans without moving their mouth, and the magic of moving instantly from place to place without using their wings.
So that's probably how they got to Phaedos.
Answered.
Yeah. Answer. Question, answer. And they also have the sorcery to appear uninvited in dreams of the living.
God damn it.
God, those are horrible.
This is the worst information I have ever
I'm
learned.
So sorry, but, like, as the ethos person, I had to go look it up.
Oh, no.
They also appear in Japanese art and Korean art.
I wonder if those animal spirits things was also somewhat
I looked
Asian
into that.
In...
I looked into that.
Yeah. Is it? What'd you find?
Well, when we get to the animals, when we get to
They fight the Tengu, and they're losing. They're actually getting their butts beat. And then a mysterious hooded stranger jumps off of
Obi-Wan
a cliff.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. You think it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, but
you're like 95% sure it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it turns out it's like this... this woman who goes from wearing a thick quilted robe to literally the opposite.
Clearly not Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Very definitely not Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. And she saves them. Then they're like, thank you. The Power Rangers say thank you to her, and then she beats them up, too. She's like, what are you doing? You need to get away from here. You need to
That's
leave.
Exactly
this is not the place for you. That's how she taught. This
uncanny.
Is my... Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Were
I've been
you just playing a recording? Of Dulcia? Was that a recording?
Yeah.
Oh my god, was that you, Robin?
That was me. That was me. Yeah.
Oh my god, that was so good.
She says, what are you doing? Get out of here. What are you doing here? You don't belong.
Impact.
And then they
god.
Like shoehorn in the word Zordon, and she goes, wait a minute, did you say Zordon?
Also an ex-lover of Zordon's.
And
Zordon's many past lovers.
Her attitude changes immediately. Zordon has a lot of former lovers, it appears. Mm-hmm. This one is the opposite of Ivanhoe's, though. Instead of wanting to destroy Zordon, she's like, Zordon, we need to keep him alive. I like that fellow. He was a great former lover. We ended that relationship on positive terms.
Oh my god.
Did you look up a transcript?
Yeah, I'm actually reading the script right now. And so she, like, agrees to help the Power Rangers, where initially she had said to them, there is no point in trying, you guys will fail, nothing good can come of this, you need to go home. She is now saying, no, you're right, I believe in you, you guys can do this. Let's save Zordon together. And then she takes them to, like, a very vaginally shaped building from which
vulvar.
From which we get the view of an incredibly penile structure off in the distance.
Yeah. For no reason.
For
I don't
no
know what
reason.
I did not find a deeper meaning in any of that.
I think they're just trying to awaken the sexuality in children.
Illuminati.
Illuminati.
I mean, well, we are the children who were awakened by Power Rangers.
It's true, though. It's a thing.
I mean... I am the one who watched this more than any of you guys.
But yeah, I never watched.
And,
I watched.
I am very definitely not sexually awakened. So.
Can we take a moment of silence for Robin's unawakened sexuality?
Robin, silence.
No, I'm allowed to not be silent during this.
All right. Phallus,
yes,
vulva.
Phallus and vulva. And during that, this woman, this stranger, this fly-by-night Obi-Wan in lingerie.
Oh, yeah, why is she in lingerie?
Why not? Give me one good reason why not.
Well, she lives on a planet full of dangers, like bony dinosaurs.
I dare you to find one reason.
It's just the way that this
mosquitoes
movie presents womanhood is so interesting.
But I think it's at this point she gives them their new identities.
Oh, right.
Which is like, it's such a simultaneously really important moment in the movie, and also it means nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, sir. If you had the notes I had. Let's talk about animals.
Let's do it.
So, Rocky, our red, who, doing my research for this, I found out Screen Rant does, like, definitive rankings of, like, every color of Power Ranger.
Okay.
So they had, like, a definitive ranking of every red Power Ranger, so that's how I understood each character. Mm-hmm. Rocky is the worst red Power Ranger in history.
Oh, no.
Ah. And what was his animal, Catherine?
Ape.
Mm-hmm.
And apes are symbolic of communication, loyalty, intelligence, power to recognize nobility in ourselves, which is ironic because he is one of the only Red Power Rangers who was never the leader of the group.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, it is, yeah. Especially because he was T-Rex before, but I think he inherited that from Jason, who was the Red Power Ranger before him, who mm-hmm. was the leader at one point until Tommy came in,
yeah.
Who's the White Power Ranger. And so it's like he inherited it and probably didn't fit into T-Rex, the like, King of Reptiles,
yeah.
And then was kind of downgraded to Ape, which is a cool thing, but it's not the king.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but is it a downgrade, though? That's the thing about that scene. That whole scene is supposed to be an upgrade.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like, this is a change in who you are. This is what gives you the strength to be who you are.
It's an upgrade in that it's a more complicated creature he's becoming, but
and it's an upgrade in the sense that it is more true to him.
Yes, for sure. Adam got the frog. Adam,
yeah,
our black, the Black Ranger got the frog, and he wasn't into it at first. But
no, he was so
actually,
disappointed.
Like, in Japan, frogs are symbols of prosperity and good luck, and often symbolize returning home, so people would carry them on their travels because it'll help you get home safely.
Mm.
Celtic people thought that frogs were rulers of the earth. Wow.
Yeah.
They are supposed to purge negativity and promote self-love, and frogs cannot exist in a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Billy, the blue, who he's one of the newer ones because a couple of them have been Power Rangers since the beginning, and then a couple of them are like the second Rangers of each color.
Right.
And Billy's like the second Blue Ranger. He was actually number 2 out of 21, so he's very popular. And he was the one who like most often looked scared, I thought. And he actually didn't know how to fight before he became a Power Ranger. He was just really smart. But he becomes the wolf. And that was like a big moment for me because I feel like he's smart and he's not a big fighter, so he probably doesn't feel like he fits in with the Power Rangers as much, and you can tell because he looks scared a lot.
Right.
And then suddenly he's the wolf, which has a savage reputation and
yeah.
it great instincts and is a symbol of bravery, faithfulness, and integrity.
Yeah.
Right.
Then Aisha becomes the bear.
Yay.
Which means that she has a natural fortitude and assurance and aptitude when taking leadership roles. She growls at adversity. A lot of cultures believe that bear is literally God, not a god, is God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, interesting.
It means that if a bear comes to you in a dream, it means you need to reclaim your space in the world.
Mm.
And I thought that was really interesting that the black woman
yeah,
has the that's animal exactly that's like growls in the face of adversity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did, what is her name, Dorothea? How did she describe the
Dulcia.
Bear? Dulcia. She was like, fierceness, loyalty, and love or something?
Which is weird.
I know. I thought so too. And to me, it just read so much as like, although she, I hate that she never has much to say because they never give her very many lines.
Yeah.
Again, as the black woman, that she really is like the backbone of group. She may not be the leader, but like she's the backbone.
Okay, so we've got Kimberly is the crane, mm-hmm. Which she explains really well in the show that it's like agility and stuff like that because Kimberly is a gymnast. Mm. Cranes are symbols of happiness and eternal youth. In Japan, they are considered the most mystical and holy creature. Mm. They have a connection to the eternal. Huh. A feminine mystery, and a lot of courtship dances are centered around cranes.
Oh. Interesting.
So a lot of romance and that kind of thing. Then we have Tommy, and I have, just like, for my research, my first thing I wrote here is most popular boy ever? but
oh, he's the favorite ranger, isn't he?
He's like legendary.
Yeah.
Because he was originally a bad guy. He was the Green Ranger for Rita Repulsa, mm-hmm. and then became a good guy, but, like, complicated. He had to work very, very hard to be a Power Ranger,
yeah.
which is amazing, because it's not, like, something he was born into. It was something he had to work very, very hard to get, which I love. And he became the leader of the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And so he becomes a Falcon, and Falcons are symbols of the sun, and they are leaders. They're keen-minded, independent. They forge ahead. They have authority and prestige, nobility and power, and in feng shui, having a falcon means that you are heading towards success.
Huh.
Interesting.
Which is, you know, very apt for a leader. So yeah. That's my argument that there is something to say with these animals.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying, actually, because it's such an important moment, and it has so much relevance for them as people. And like and it tells us a lot about who they are, but still somehow plot wise, it's such a big thing that really doesn't have any impact or meaning on the plot.
The story.
It doesn't actually change the story anything.
At all.
It tells
Except
us a little about
their
characters.
They do get their powers back somehow.
Well, no, that comes later though. They have to go to, they still have to go through that whole thing. And in the meantime, Ivan Ooze is setting up his sort of final big play, his pièce de résistance.
Long con.
Yeah, his long con, where while they've been gone,
I think nobody took the moment to appreciate the thing that I just said.
But, like, we're leaving out the...
What'd you just say?
A pièce de résistance.
Yeah, I heard that. And I groaned about it, I'm pretty sure.
I'm glad I got that validation I was seeking from Catherine.
You're welcome. I'm here for you.
Which is that he dresses like the creepiest person you could possibly imagine and gathers a crowd of children.
Creepy.
Which, by the way, another incredibly sexual, like, undertone scene here. He is
what?
He is a stranger. He is gathering a whole, like, crowd of young children, which, like, first of all, no not even one child would ever, like, care to find out what this particular person was selling. They would take one look at him and run in horror in the other direction.
Yeah.
This is like
you guys, he put his fluids in a little cup and gave it to
and
children.
Gave it to children. Yeah.
Yeah, and it acts as somehow like it's as a, I don't know the mechanism by which this happens.
It's something hypnotic about it.
But yeah, it hypnotizes, turns the adults into zombies. And
it turns them into workers.
Yeah, workers zombies. And zombie ants. That's his plan, is to get this giant zombie army of human adults to uncover his robots.
His robot monsters.
His robot monsters. They go to the construction zone where he originally...
Where he was born out of his egg.
Was born. Or where he had been imprisoned for 6,000 years.
No, that's how he was born.
That was the very first time Ivan Ooze ever existed.
I want to say born, though. I just think that's really cute.
He's probably actually born there. That might be his laid egg, and then he had to go back to it for some reason.
Yeah, but he's forcing them to dig up his giant, like, robot animal creatures. In the meantime, back on the planet Phaedon, the Power Rangers are still, Phaedos, my apologies, are still trying to get their powers back, the great power, so that they can save Zordon. So they go to the monolith, the giant penile structure in the distance, and they have to fight the four guardians. They have to defeat the four guardians in order to retrieve the great power. And that means working together. That means overcoming their weaknesses as a group.
They are such a good team.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are a good team.
If you're not paying close attention, you don't distinguish that they are individual people.
Because they work so well in harmony.
Yeah.
You know, work together, be a team kind of thing.
And they all, because like none of them are showing off, you know, like want to be the best of the group.
Yeah.
And because of that, they all shine.
Yes.
They shine as a group.
Yeah.
We love the Power Rangers.
We love them.
I'm so glad that you have done such a like quick gone from not knowing anything about the Power Rangers to
really enjoying
looking
them.
I last night was looking at Power Ranger costumes online.
Aww.
So they defeat the four guardians with the power of teamwork. So then back on Earth, what we've been calling robots are, they're known as ectomorphicons.
Excuse me.
Oh boy.
I had no idea I was committing such a faux pas.
Yeah, ectomorphicons. But yeah, so Ivan Ooze has finally unearthed his ectomorphicons and he unleashes them on Angel Grove, and now he no longer needs the parent slaves. He tells them all to kill themselves.
Like lemmings.
He just like wants them all to walk over the edge of a cliff. And around this time, this is like sort of the climax. Ivan Ooze is running rampage across the city with his ectomorphicons. The Power Rangers have just arrived back in town, and they have their new abilities, their newfound confidence, and the great power. And so they get into these giant mechabots, these robots, their morphin forms. So they do what they do best. They become one. They work as a team. They become one giant creature in order to fight Ivan Ooze. They successfully lure him into the path of
the
comet that we have known since the very beginning of this movie has been approaching for days.
You know whose idea it is to do that?
Whose?
It was Billy.
Good job, Billy. Ranger. He's the smartest.
He's not as
one.
Strong, but he's the smartest.
Smartest.
I was so proud of my wolf boy.
My question is, why doesn't he rain ooze upon the earth?
My question is the same as Kylie's.
Yeah, Robin, what's the answer?
Because he's dead.
What is the environmental impact of the ooze falling on the earth?
What did Billy do to our climate?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Should we hold Billy
accountable for climate change?
Be held accountable for the purple ooze raining upon the earth.
So that's how Ivan Ooze dies. Having finally taken care of Ivan Ooze and saved the world, they now have a more pressing matter. They have to save their world, Zordon.
Oh shit!
The man who matters most in all the universe, the great good.
He's like a father to them.
He is.
The great pinnacle of good is being saved by humanity. I think it's an important thing to point that out. Goodness is always...
It's like hobbits.
Goodness is redeemed when we work together. You know, sort of the moral of Power Rangers. We can save goodness.
Together.
We together can save goodness. So they go back and they think it's too late or whatever, but they have the great power and everything works out for the best. Quite an expected ending.
Yeah.
and, you know, for the most part, you feel good about the ending.
My experience was like, I don't know,
wait,
same with...
that's not the ending.
Oh, what's the ending, Catherine?
They go to the boardwalk, they party, they watch fireworks to Van Halen's song Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. So life just goes back to being a great big party. Everything is awesome again.
May I quote the lyrics here?
Yeah.
We'll get higher and higher. Straight up, we'll climb. We'll get higher and higher. Leave it all behind. So baby, dry your eyes. Save. Oh, I don't know how I actually. Okay, but spectacular moment at the end there. That yeah, that beautiful. I turned to you guys and I was like, this soundtrack's really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we all applauded when the like directed by.
We did. We all went, yes, very good. Very good.
Good job, Brian Singer. Spicer, not Singer. Brian Spicer. I'm looking at Brian Spicer's Wikipedia page right now. It's kind of sad. In 1995, Spicer made his feature film directorial debut with the film Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, 1995.
Higher and higher!
In 1997, he directed the films McHale's Navy and For Richer or Poorer. That's the entirety of his filmography.
Oh,
he debuted with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, which was such a banger all around.
So good.
And
it's hard to come back
from
that.
And then, you know, I haven't heard of either of those other two things.
I would liken it to Orson Welles. His film debut was Citizen Kane. Mm. Very similar in content to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, 1995. And it took him a really long time to make a movie that was good again. Overall, a fantastic film. I feel enlivened.
I'm so glad to hear it. It really does make me so happy to know that you enjoyed this.
It's really fun and it's really cool. And I think those are genuine qualities in something.
You've been listening to Grow Up, a Saturday morning podcast for nostalgic millennials with me, Barnabas McCopic.
Me, Regina Gloriana.
And me, Slime Muff Spilmar.
Please join us next week as we sample the Disney Channel's love letter to the beleaguered teen millennial soul, the Lizzie McGuire movie.
This episode featured the song Enthusiast by the band Tours. We would love to hear what you took away from the movie and from this podcast. So if you heard something that resonated with you, or if you heard something that you didn't think is quite right, please tweet us at growthepodup or send us your thoughts at growthepodup@gmail.com. Complete with your name and the city you live in, your zip code, your credit card info, and a little further down the line, we may share those thoughts on the air. That, you know, I'm a little too overcome with emotion.
Really?
Yeah.
Never would have expected that. All right, so shall we move
on? So out of character.
Oh, wow. That was ruthless.
Oh, really? You're talking about roller skating and cute clothes and nice
and you
music.
Got emotional? Yeah. Oh, imagine that.
You got a little choked up over there. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.